Good morning. This is Representative Mary Jane Wallner, and welcome to the second ever remote fiscal committee meeting. Today is April 20th, 2020. And I'm going to start the meeting today by going through our right to know checklist. And as the chair of the fiscal committee of the general court, I find that due to the state of emergency declared by the governor as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in accordance with the governor's emergency order number 12, pursuant to executive order 2020-04, as extended pursuant to executive order 2020-05, this public body is authorized to meet electronically. Please note that there is no physical location to observe and listen contemporaneously to this meeting, which was authorized pursuant to the governor's emergency order. However, in accordance with the emergency order, I am confirming that we are, one, providing public access to the meeting by phone, with additional access possible by video or other electronic means. We are utilizing VAST conference for this electronic meeting. All members of the committee and the staff of the state agencies with agenda items have the ability to communicate contemporaneously during this meeting through this platform, and the public has access to contemporaneously listen and, if necessary, participate in this meeting through dialing the following phone number, 1-800-356-8278, and the six-digit conference code 125563, followed by the pound sign. And two, providing public notice of the necessary information for accessing the meeting. We previously gave notice to the public of the necessary information for accessing the meeting telephonically. Instructions have also been provided in the House and Senate calendars, the fiscal committee agenda, and the website of the Legislative Budget Assistance Office at gencourt.state.nh.us/LBA/budget/fiscal committee. And three, providing a mechanism for the public to alert the public body during the meeting if there are problems with access. If anyone has a problem, please email nheoc@bos.nh.gov. Adjourning the meeting if the meeting is unable to access the meeting, if the public is unable to access the meeting. In the event the public is unable to access the meeting will be adjourned and rescheduled. Please note that all votes that are taken during this meeting shall be done by roll call vote. Let's start the meeting by taking a roll call attendance. And when each member states their presence, please also state whether there is anyone in the room with you during the meeting, which is required under the right to know law. I call the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wallner.
Present. No one is in the room with me, and I'm at my home in Concord, New Hampshire.
Representative Leishman.
Yes, good morning. I am here at my home in Peterborough, and I'm alone in the living room.
And Representative Ford is alone in the her home in Easton, and there's nobody there. Representative Weiler is not here. Representative Ober.
I'm here. I'm at home, and as always, I have assorted cats wandering in and out.
Representative Hennessy.
I'm here at my home in Littleton, and my two minor children are in the house and come in and out of the room frequently.
Senator D'Alessandro.
I'm here, and I'm in my home, and I'm by myself.
Representative Senate President Susie.
Good morning. I'm here. I am at home, and I am by myself.
Senator Kahn.
Here in Keene. At home, no one else present.
Senator Rosenwald.
Good morning. I am at my home in Nashua, and I am by myself.
Senator Morse.
Present, and I'm in my office in Atkinson, New Hampshire, alone.
Thank you. That concludes the attendance.
Thank you, Representative Ford. Let's move. This will, I think, be a fairly short meeting. Let's move on to the acceptance of the minutes of April 10th, 2020. Do I hear a motion?
Move the acceptance.
Senator D'Alessandro moves.
Second.
And Senator Rosenwald.
Rosenwald.
Yes. Discussion of the minutes? Hearing no discussion, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Hennessy.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Senate President Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
And Senator Morse?
Yes.
The vote is 9-0. Oh, Representative Wallner, you didn't get to vote.
Yeah, and I vote yes.
And that makes it 10-0.
Thank you, Representative Ford. And our next order of business is old business. Any action on those, on that? Hearing none, we'll move on to our miscellaneous. And today the Legislative Budget Assistant is going to give us an update on the guidance from the U.S. Treasury around the Coronavirus Relief Fund. And I will turn it over to Mr. Kane.
Thank you, Chairman Wallner. For the record, my name is Michael Kane. I'm the Legislative Budget Assistant. I am currently at my home in Warner in my office. So I'm here to give you a brief update on the United States Department of Treasury guidance relative to the use of the coronavirus relief funds under the CARES Act, of which New Hampshire is eligible for $1.25 billion. Guidance has not yet been released. So we are waiting on that guidance as well as every other state and legislator. Hopefully we'll get something by April 24th. But I did just want to update you on the status of the distribution to the state of New Hampshire. On April 13th, the United States Treasury notified the eligible government to provide their payment information and required supporting documentation to the United States Treasury no later than last Friday. The treasurer, the state treasurer, on behalf of the state, did enter that information into the U.S. Treasury's web portal. And at around 5 p.m. on April 17th, 2020, last Friday, the state treasurer was notified by their bank that the first $625 million was deposited into their account from the U.S. Treasury. And so I just thought I'd update you on the status of that. When we do get additional guidance from the U.S. Treasury, I'll make sure to inform everyone on the committee as well as the legislature. And just as far as the basic guidance relative to the appropriations in the fund. Reading through the CARES Act, there are three, it's a very short section relative to coronavirus relief fund. But basically, I can read for the record, relative to the use of the funds, state, tribal government, and unit of local government shall use the funds provided under a payment made under this section to cover only those costs of the state, tribal government, for a unit of local government that, number one, are necessary expenditures incurred due to the public health emergency with respect to the coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. Number two, were not accounted for in budget most recently approved as of today's enactment of this section for the state or government. And number three, were incurred during a period that begins on March 1st, 2020 and ends on December 30th, 2020. The guidance is very necessary for New Hampshire, whereas we have passed the budget back in September. We are on a biennial budget, so we're in a unique situation. You do have some legislators that are we're currently debating and preparing their annual budget. When this the pandemic did hit and the states of emergency were expressed. So I just thought I'd wanted to give that to you. If you have further information relative to the guidance from the Treasury, we will share that. And that's my brief briefing.
Mr. Kane, would you entertain some questions if people have questions?
Yes.
Ma'am, Senator
questions
Rosenwald,
for Mr. Kane?
Question.
Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It wasn't a question. It was I wanted to offer a motion, but if there are questions of Mr. Kane, I would defer to those.
Okay, let's see if there is anyone who does have a question of Mr. Kane, and then we'll move on to Representative Senator Rosenwald's motion.
Ma'am, Senator D'Alessandro has a question.
Yes, Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question of Mike. Mike, as the fiscal committee, advisor and the person who really lets us know the abilities we have. What if, at this moment in time, we've accepted $625 million? What authority does the fiscal committee have at this point to spend to appropriate any of that money in light of the fact that we just have these very amorphous guidelines?
Yeah, and I think that's subject to the motion in the Superior Court that was discussed this morning, which will be clarified. Typically, how fiscal acts not in an emergency, which is a key point, is that agencies would request, pursuant to RSA 1438, the prior approval of fiscal committee to expend federal funds. However, as you are all aware, the governor does believe he has powers under the state of emergency under RSA 445 as well as RSA 21P that is now subject to the court interpretation, the discussions in the court, which was adjourned today. I hope that helps.
Well, further question, Madam Chair?
Yes, Mike.
Given that, and given a court decision that's going to come to us expeditiously, as I understand it, I was virtually present at the court hearing this morning. What kind of latitude do we have on any action today taken on any of the monies that have been accepted by the state treasurer?
It's unclear as far as any legal authority that you have. There's nothing wrong with having a discussion amongst the committee on what you believe the funds could be used for. But again, absent those, the regulations, there's not much that the committee can do at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there further questions of Mr. Kane?
Ma'am, Representative Ober has a question.
Yes, Representative Ober.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Actually, now have two questions. First question is for Mr. Kane. I don't want to correct you, Mike, but I believe you might have made a slight misstatement. In the past, fiscal has voted to accept and allow agencies to expend federal funds. And when you stated what you just said, you did not mention the accept. You mentioned only that fiscal looked at expending the funds. Didn't we traditionally vote to accept and allow the agencies to expend the funds?
Yes, Representative Michael Cambridge said budget assistant, that is correct. Fiscal makes the approval to accept and expend of these funds, correct.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. My next question is for the chair. I was floored, to put it mildly, to get an email from the speaker that said the legislature had decided to sue the governor, since I had no visibility of that. But I also was floored that this morning during the hearing, which I also attended virtually, the Democratic attorneys for the four Democrats who filed the suit seemed to indicate that this was on behalf of all the fiscal committee. But again, I wasn't even told or queried whether I might be interested in such a suit. So I'm curious why such broad terms for who's fighting this are being used, because I really do have constituents asking me if I'm suing the governor. And my answer is I had no clue. Can you explain how that happened?
We brought the suit because we are defending the right of the fiscal committee to accept and expend funds under RSA 14:30.
Further question. So
yes.
if you are successful, then you will finally do what I thought fiscal should have been doing for years and decades, which is requiring every agency who comes forth wanting federal funds to actually tell us and then report to us specifically what they're spending those funds on.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but we will we would proceed as we have always with acceptance and expenditure, allowing for the approval of the fund by the executive department.
Well, follow up. That's partly what confuses me. When we have accepted funds, we have not asked agencies specifically, what will you spend these on? We do ask them if they're going to hire any staff to tell us the expenditure for that. But all the other money, we get no information about how they're going to expend it, which has always been a little frustrating to me. And so it appears that you are wishing to change the methodology, and we will now get that expenditure information.
No, I believe we will proceed as we have always proceeded with these items.
In that
Thank
case,
you,
the lawsuit really wasn't needed, was it? Thank you.
And now, is it further questions for Mr. Kane?
Ma'am, Representative Leishman has a question.
Oh, Representative Leishman.
Yes, good morning, Mike. So as I understand it, and as we've done in the past, and looking at the $625 million that's already been sent to New Hampshire and deposited, we could, in fact, take all of that or a portion of that and recommended its direction to different agencies as long as it's COVID-19 related. Is that correct?
As far as who can direct that, Representative, I think that's still subject to the court decision right now. So, but it could be, as long as it's COVID-19 related, for instance, a couple of executive orders the governor had issued prior to this date, including $50 million for the Health Care Relief Fund, some additional funds for sexual and domestic violence, as well as a stipend for some long-term care workers. Most likely, again, pending guidance from the U.S. Treasury, are COVID-related expenditures that are most likely allowable under the CARES Act.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Leishman. Are there further questions of Mr. Kane? Hearing none, I will go back now to Senator Rosenwald, I believe, who had something to bring before us.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. In light of Mr. Kane's briefing, I'd like to offer the following motion. In light of the governor's office statement that the $26 million in transfers from various programs in Department of Health and Human Services were for cash flow purposes to pay COVID-19 expenses, and the fact that the state has since received $625 million in CARES funds on Friday, April 17, 2020, to the extent U.S. Treasury guidance permits, the committee moves to reverse the following transfers made by DHHS. One, $8 million from substance use disorder rate increases. Two, $4 million from the state loan repayment program for healthcare workers. Three, $1.7 million from homeless shelter and rehousing. Four, $8.75 million from the new secure psychiatric unit. $2 million from low-income senior prescription drug assistance. $750,000 from congregate housing. $750,000 in additional transfers for the secure psychiatric unit, and finally $100,000 from the foster grandparents program. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rosenwald. Is there a second to that motion?
I'd second the motion. Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro seconds the motion. Discussion of the motion?
Ma'am, Senator Morse has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Morse.
Well, first of all, I don't see anything on the agenda that represents such a motion, so I would think it's inappropriate not to, first of all, notify the committee, but second of all, notify the public that we're taking up such an action. And second of all, I certainly would like to hear from LBA on us reversing that process, what authorities we have.
Thank you,
sure.
I will ask Mr. Kane to address that.
Sure. Michael Kane, Legislative Budget Assistant. And again, not an attorney, I would recommend that legal counsel should be sought. As far as fiscal committee having the authority to reverse a transfer made under the executive order, I'm not sure fiscal does have that authority, so I can't really comment on that. Could you recommend to HHS, without have it being binding, that they take the actions, as Senator Rosenwald just added? But I think the question still is, does fiscal have the authority to direct HHS to do so, and will HHS be bound? And that I cannot answer. Sorry.
Senator Rosenwald, would you like to respond to Mr. Kane's suggestion of a recommendation?
Yes, thank you very much. I believe that my language does contemplate the idea of it being a recommendation because of the phrase, to the extent U.S. Treasury guidance permits. The department said that, confirmed that, we were told at the last fiscal meeting that these recommendations were for cash flow purposes before the money came in. And secondly, I have actually consulted with the Senate's legal counsel on the wording of this motion.
Thank you. Further discussion of the motion?
Ma'am, Representative Ober has her hand raised.
Representative Ober.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So, in addition to a surprise lawsuit naming members of a committee that I sit on that I knew nothing about, we now have what appears to be a surprise motion. And I believe that Senator Rosenwald read that motion. We do not have a copy of the motion. And I was on my computer until the call started to see if we were going to get any late items, which we often do, as Mr. Kane can attest, and you also know. I believe this is inappropriate without a copy in writing for us to really know what we're voting on. It's just not possible to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars without having something in front of you in writing. My dad was an attorney. I'm not. But he would be rolling over in his grave if he thought I was going to vote on something that I had not seen that was so in depth. I think we should postpone this until the next meeting, and you should get the paperwork out to all of us.
Thank you, Representative Ober. Further discussion?
Ma'am, Senator Kahn has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Kahn.
Madam Chair, I think I'm diverting a little bit from Representative Ober's request, and I think that deserves some attention. But what I do recall is that our last meeting, as the Department of Health and Human Services presented the transfers that they were making, they indicated to us pretty clearly that that $15 million was directed towards emergency expenses related to the COVID-19 crisis. And subsequently, we've heard then that it's the intent to reverse that once the funds are available. So I think I'm speaking to the motion that this is an action that I support because I think it's consistent with previous actions that we've taken. That's all I have to add at that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kahn. Further discussion of Representative Senator Rosenwald's motion.
Ma'am, I had Senator Rosenwald next in line.
Senator Rosenwald.
No, I don't think I had my hand up again. Thank you. My virtual hand.
Senator Morse is next. Further
discussion.
Yep. This is Senator Morse. I still don't think, based on Mike Kane's comments, that we've appropriately notified the public that we're voting on this. And second, the committee has not addressed an attorney on this. Based on what Mike Kane just said, he believes we should have counsel. I just think this is totally inappropriate to be voting on today.
Further discussion?
One moment, ma'am.
Okay.
Sorry, Representative Leishman was next.
Representative Leishman.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Could Representative Rosenwald just repeat the numbers again, or where she's suggesting these funds be moved? And I certainly understand we're in a unprecedented time, so it sounds like reasonable action. But I didn't get all of them written down as I was writing, so if she could just repeat them, that would be great.
Am I recognized, Madam Chair?
Yes, you are. Sorry.
Thank you. Number one, $8 million from substance use disorder rate increases. Two, $4 million from the state loan repayment program for healthcare workers. Three, $1.7 million from homeless shelter and rehousing. Four, $8.75 million that was appropriated to the new secure psychiatric unit. Five, $2 million from low-income senior prescription drug assistance. Six, $750,000 from congregate housing. Seven, $750,000 from additional transfers for the secure psychiatric unit. And number eight, $100,000 from the foster grandparents program. These were the total $26 million of transfers that LBA informed us on Friday had been taken.
Thank you. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Rosenwald. And in your motion, this would only be allowable if once we have the federal guidance. Is that correct?
Yes, the language says, to the extent U.S. Treasury guidance permits.
Thank you. Further discussion of the motion?
Ma'am, Representative Hennessy has her hand raised.
Representative Hennessy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to table this motion until we receive this information in writing and it's posted to the public.
Thank you, Representative Hennessy. Representative Hennessy moves to table the item, and I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman?
Second.
No.
Point of order. Madam Chair, does the motion need a second?
I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
Second.
Who?
Senator. I heard 2 seconds there. I heard Senator Moore second. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
Thank you. Representative Leishman?
No.
Representative Ford votes no. Representative Ober?
Yes.
Representative Hennessy?
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
No.
State Senate President Susie?
No.
Senator Kahn?
No.
Senator Rosenwald?
No.
Senator Morris?
Yes.
Senator Representative Wallner?
No.
The vote is 6 no's and 4 yeses.
The tabling motion fails.
I'm sorry, it's 3 yeses.
Can you give me the vote again? The total vote.
7 yeses. 7 no's, 3 yeses.
Thank you. The motion fails. 7 voted nay and 3 voted yay. Are we ready to vote on Senator Rosenwald's motion?
I had my hand up for a question.
I can't see you. Okay. Yes, Representative Ober.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I want to thank Senator Kane for supporting the fact that I believe we should get this in writing. He said that last time we had a motion, we had an informational item in the amount of $15 million. And fortunately, we're recording this so you can replay that. However, this motion is for $26 million. Now, I don't believe that Senator Kahn was correct when he said $15 million, but I think it shows clearly why fiscal has in the past and should, going forward, be very certain about what they are voting on and why, because that's a difference in $9 million. And we don't have this in writing. Most of us didn't know it was coming, but clearly 7 of us knew it was coming. So also clearly the partisanship we've been seeing in fiscal this time continues, which distresses me no end, as this committee did not used to be partisan. But I would like to know why we have to do this today without writing, when we are at the call of the chair, Madam Chairman, and you could get that information out appropriately. We could all read it and be ready, and we could have a meeting at the call of a chair.
Further discussion?
Ma'am, Senator Morse has his hand raised.
Yes, Senator Morse.
Yes, Senator Morse. The in this virtual world, I just find this to be totally wrong, that we're not notifying the public on an action. I mean, I understand making amendments to an action, but there is no action presented on our agenda today, and yet we're going to go forward with a motion to do something that we haven't put out to the public. I think that's totally wrong. In the day of lawsuits, does that mean that the minority party now can hire an attorney to basically question this on May 8th?
Thank you, Senator Morse. Further discussion of the item?
I didn't get an answer, Madam Chair. Can we have an attorney present on May 8th to answer the question of whether this is legal or not?
Can we have an attorney present on May 8th? Was that the question?
Yeah, I think my chain made it perfectly clear that an attorney needed to be consulted on this action.
And I believe Senator Rosenwald stated that she had spoken with the Senate attorney.
It would be nice if the public saw
that. Am I correct,
yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
That is correct.
Further discussion?
Madam Chairman, you didn't answer my question either.
And what was your question again?
My question, Madam Chairman, was, since we are meeting at the call of the chair, why the chair would not recess this meeting to the call of the chair, get this paperwork available and posted and out to members, and allow us to see it before we vote.
Thank you. I think that Senator Rosenwald was able to state her motion very clearly, and I think that the committee is capable of understanding what the motion was. The motion dealt with an item that we approved last week, or we saw last week, and that we are, it only allows us to move the money back to those accounts if the federal guidance allows that. And I think that this is a motion that the fiscal committee can make at this point. It depends upon the federal guidance.
So if I may paraphrase your answer to be sure I understood what you said, my question was, why not do this at the call of the chair, get the paperwork out, get an amended agenda out so that the public can know? And your answer is, Representative Rosenwald read her motion, which she took to the Senate attorney without knowledge of any of the people on fiscal committee. To my knowledge, she hasn't said that, although I gather from the conversation there was knowledge. I just wanted to be sure I had that correctly. So we basically are saying no transparency for the public, and that's okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Further discussion?
I have my hand up.
Oh, is that Senator Rosen? Is that Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have my hand up.
Okay. Yes. Senator D'Alessandro.
I want to address the issue, and I want to move partisanship to the side basket. There is no partisanship in this motion. every one of the items that Senator Rosenwald brought forward was in the budget. We all discussed it, and it was voted on by the House and by the Senate. What she's trying to do is in the best interest of the public in this fashion. Those items were withdrawn from expenditures that we had approved in order to deal with a specific situation, cash flow. We now have the money, and if indeed it meets the requirements set forth by the federal government, we can again restore to the public items that we thought they needed at the time, so there's no disruption in service. And I'm thinking of the home care, health care services, and the drug situation and the payment of the loans. These are all issues to the public and important to our constituents. The public heard this in our last meeting when we allowed for these transfers so that we could deal with the situation that was pending. So I think we're doing the right thing, and the motion brought forth states quite clearly that it must meet the criteria set forth by the regulations that come from the federal government. So it's doing the right thing in restoring things that we all voted on. Now, I don't want anything to be considered a partisan issue. We are all here for the public good. We're here for the public good. These were all items that we voted on for the public good, and we are restoring these items for the public. Given the situation, we got $625 million from the federal government associated with the virus. Any monies that we were spent to directly deal with the virus could be taken care of. We're going to get an official presentation of that from the feds. If that proves inaccurate, then we have to make a change. But it seems to me we're doing the right thing at the right time and acting as the fiscal committee should. That's why we're here. And the public is aware. The public is aware because the public was listening last time to what we did in terms of the transfer. And that's why I support it. Did I know about it? No. I ran across an email. I was on the virtual thing for the court, so things happened quickly. But I think in this case, it's for all of the people, and that's what we're here for. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator D'Alessandro.
Madam Chair, this is Senator Kahn.
Yes, Senator Kahn.
I had my hand up there. The item that I pulled up for this meeting is a memo that came from the LBA and Mike Kane, and it describes the interagency transfers that are a part of this motion. He states here that attached is the list of sources DHHS has transferred from areas within the department to dedicate approximately $26 million towards COVID-19 activities. And it's a follow-up. You did have a discussion at last week's meeting relative to most transfers. So, I think that we're noticed generally, and I think that Senator Rosenwald's motion is one that responds to information.
Senator Kahn needs to get his phone away from his computer. It's screeching over the line, and he's totally breaking up.
Hello. Good now?
Yes.
I was referencing the the April 16th memo from Mike Kane, and it specifically calls our attention that attached are the list of DHHS transfers from various areas of the department dedicated to $26 million towards COVID-19 activities. Then he references, you did have a discussion at last week's fiscal meeting relative to most of these transfers. The second part of that memo then describes the CARES deposit that was received of $612 million. My point in recalling that we all received that memo last Thursday in preparation for our discussion today is that the motion that's before us comes directly from that memo, which then details the sources of the $26 million referenced in Senator Rosenwald's motion.
Thank you, Senator Kahn. Further discussion?
Ma'am, I had Senator Rosenwald's hands up, but it's raised, it's lowered. I'm not sure if she still has it.
Senator Rose, I would
lower it because I was going to bring the April 16th email that went to the entire fiscal committee plus some legislative staff also, but Senator Kahn mentioned that.
Thank you.
I have Representative Ober next.
Representative Ober.
Hey, Madam Chairman, yes. I wish to respond to the senator who said this is not partisan. Since, Madam Chair, you could recess this and post the meeting actually for tomorrow afternoon because you only need 24 hours and get the written motion out not only to us but to the public. And since the judge has not ruled yet and Mr. Kane has said that we might make an advisory motion only, it is unlikely that that would delay money. And because we're rushing this, it does seem to be very partisan. And it seems we're trying to hide things from the public. And it's disappointing that we don't want to be transparent since we're at the call of the chair. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Ma'am, Mr. Kane had his hand raised.
Mr. Kane?
Sure. Hi, Mike Kane, Legislative Budget Assistant. I just wanted to clarify. So the email that's being referred to was follow-up to a discussion had at last fiscal committee meeting. You remember two informational items presented by HHS relative to transfers. So what we sent, what I sent to the fiscal committee on April, the email on Thursday the 16th at 10:08 a.m. Was more detailed for you. So it would show both of those fiscal items as well as an initial $8 million allocation. And I provided that to the fiscal committee as well as the legislative advisory board on the gopher as information as far as the detail of what has occurred. So I just did want to clarify that. Because it is being discussed now, what we will do is post it, which is just the information. We'll post that on our website under late items, other material, just so the public understands the document that is being referred to. Again, no motion in that document, it's just additional detail for the committee. But so the public has been hearing this, we will post that to our website.
Thank you, Mr. King. Further discussion?
Ma'am, Senator Morris.
Senator Morris.
Yeah. I just want to be very clear to the public. I have the fiscal committee special agenda. It has call instructions as number one. It has acceptance of minutes from April 10th as number two. It has old business for the Department of Education as number three. Number four is miscellaneous, which was the update we received from Mike Kane today. And number five is the date of the next meeting. There is nothing on this agenda that references this motion. So I think the public needs to understand what we're doing today.
Thank you. Further discussion? If the motion fails, I will call us back to take it up at a later date, which will be very soon. I'll ask the clerk unless someone else has comment. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Leishman?
Yes.
Representative Ford votes yes. Representative Ober?
Lacking any written confirmation of what we're really voting on, I'm going to have to vote no.
Representative Hennessy?
No.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Senate President Susi?
Yes.
Senator Kahn?
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
No.
The vote is 7-3.
You didn't. I don't believe you called my name.
Oh, your name is on the top. I'm doing this paper and pencil, not computer. It's getting confusing. Okay. Representative Wallner?
Yes.
Thank you. The vote is 7-3.
Vote is 7-3. The motion passes. Further things to come before our committee? Seeing none, at this point, I will recess us until May 8, 2002 at 10 o'clock a.m. And reserve the right to call us back at any point before that date if need be. Meeting is recessed.